Welcome to episode 84 of the Fredcast for the week of October 8th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this episode of the Fredcast, finally, I've got those last interviews from the final day of Interbike 2007. They've been in the can for a while. Technical difficulties and travel have kept me away from being able to do it, but I'm finally bringing them to you today, and I know you're going to enjoy them. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes, well, you know the rest, here comes the Fredcast. This episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitter. They were at Interbike. They were all over the floor looking for the right products to bring to you in the year to come. Special deals for Fredcast listeners are available at www.thefredcast.com. Click on the CBO link. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter. They outfit Fredcast listeners and the world. Well, welcome back to the Fredcast. And by the way, if things sound strange, it's because I am on my portable mic, because once again, I am on the road for my day job. So bear with me, but realize that most of this show is not going to be on the portable mic. It is interviews that I captured at Interbike last week. Now, before we get started with the show, I just have one personal request, and I only do this once a year. And last year, you all responded very generously, and I hope you will as well. So if you'll bear with me, just one quick, I guess you could call it a public service announcement. As many of you know, my wife, Donna, has multiple sclerosis. Now, if you saw her, you wouldn't realize that she does, but she does, and it affects our lives every single day. And when she has a flare-up, well, it's a huge effect on our lives. Ever since she was diagnosed with MS, I dedicated myself to doing whatever I could to find the cause and cure of this disease. Now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a researcher, so how do I do this? Well, it's simple. I did it the best way that I knew how, and that was by getting involved in an MS bike tour. We've talked about them here on the show before, and the one that I got involved in is the MS Beta Bay Bike Tour with the Pacific South Coast Chapter. We ride from Orange County to San Diego, and we're doing it this weekend, October 13th and 14th. I've got a team. We're called Team Landsharks. I'm proud and honored to have the people on my team that I do. And this is where you can help. I'm asking you to please donate whatever you can to help me in my fight to help find the cause and cure of MS. I've put a link in the show notes. I've put a link on the blog page. Please go to thefredcast.com. Find that link under today's show, show number 84. Donate what you can. Every dollar helps. 10 is even better. 100 is fantastic. 1,000, most appreciated. Please give whatever you can. I only do this once a year. I appreciate your indulgence. I appreciate your understanding. And of course, I appreciate your support. I'm really honored and blessed this year because not only am I riding, but my two daughters are riding as well. They are 11 and 14. You know Emily, you've heard her on the show before. She's riding this year. And my wife Donna is riding, in her words, because she's riding for people who can't, because someday maybe she won't be able to. You know, every year when I do the ride, I wear a sign on my back that not only has my number, but it also says, I'm riding for my wife, Donna. This year, she's wearing a sign that says, I'm riding for myself. And that's awesome. So I hope that you will find it in your heart to donate. And thanks again for listening. So let's get started with our first interview from Interbike. And we're going to start with this one, which really needs no introduction because it really is a follow-up to an interview that I did several weeks ago on the iBike Power Meter. Well, iBike was at the show. They had a number of new technologies and new innovations to show. And I spoke with the owner, John Heyman. And here's how that went. A few months ago, I reviewed the iBike Power Meter, and I had a couple of concerns about it, just a couple of things that I thought that could have been improved on the product, and I'm standing here talking to John Heyman. He's the owner of the company, and John, you've addressed all of my concerns. Tell me what is new about the iBike this year.
Well, it's nice to hear we've addressed your concerns, but I would start by saying that in the last year, I have personally visited several hundred dealers across the U.S. I have talked to thousands of people, and my inbox on my email package has over 30,000 emails in it. So we take very seriously everything that people say. And we got a lot of nice comments, and we got comments saying, guys, we want more. And so what we've done this year, David, is we've come to the show with, I think, some products that really respond to what our customers have been saying. Let me start. We have a fully wireless system now. That system works with the Ant Plus Sport technology, which means it's compatible with the new Garmin Edge 705. The iBike can sit next to your Edge and send power data, and for the first time, you'll be able to get power and GPS data together. That's something a lot of people want. As easy as it was to do, it's something our customers really wanted. We've got a black iBike. Very important is we have a brand new wireless system, and that wireless system works with any iBike that's ever been made. So what you do is you take your old iBike, you buy the new handlebar mount, upload new firmware, put your handlebar mount on, and go.
So I've got an iBike, and if I want to put the wireless on, get the handlebar mount, am I going to have to pay anything extra for the new firmware?
No, firmware is free. And in fact, the firmware has a lot of other stuff. We now record cadence and heart rate in the ride file. The wireless mount comes with a heart rate strap, cadence, and bike speed. It addresses issues with battery life. We've got power management in there now. It works with an indoor trainer. So if you have, we have a long list of indoor trainers that we support, and what you do is you upload the profile of the trainer that you own, get indoors, ride, and you'll see watts just the way you would had you spent thousands of dollars more for something else.
So with your wireless sensors, and because you're working with indoor trainers, those are all now on the rear?
You can put them on the rear wheel. Yep, I've been riding around all summer with it on the rear wheel. I've had no interference problems, no dropout problems. I give the guys at Dynastream a tremendous amount of credit for a really state-of-the-art wireless communication system. And it's easy to use, and once you get it going, you know, we've been walking around the booth here seeing how far away you can get before the signal drops, and you got to go a long ways.
Now, what about your software for the desktop, both for Windows and for Mac? What have you done there?
We've actually done some important things, and I'll tell you a story about it. iBike owners are passionate, and this summer I got an email from an iBike owner saying, hi, I like my iBike, but I think your software could be better, and so take a look at this little PowerPoint file that I put together. And I looked at it, and it absolutely blew me away, because this guy also happens to have a PhD in physics. He was able to figure out situations where the iBike can have issues in downhills and rough roads and use all of the data in the iBike. Because remember, the iBike doesn't just report power. It reports hill slope, wind speed, elevation, bike speed, acceleration, and all of that data can be used together to identify where there are problem spots, and you punch a button on the new software that says analyze ride, and all those problems just disappear. It's very cool.
Now, what about the setup of the iBike? You and I had some conversations about that. Any changes there?
The wireless mount is even easier to set up than the wired mount. You mount the handlebar, you pair the sensors, which is an electronic process so that the sensor is read by your iBike and only your iBike, and you go. One of the great things also about this new software is if you do make a mistake, you have an error in your tilt calibration or your coast down coefficients are off, software says, hey guy, I remember what you did before, and let me fix it for you automatically. So you no longer have to worry about being pristine. Go out and ride, and if there are any issues, it'll fix it.
That's pretty awesome. So even with user error, your software is correcting for that?
Even with user error, our software corrects for it. We're also reporting out drag coefficients in the form of CDA and CRR. CDA is your coefficient of drag times your frontal surface area. That's when you go to wind tunnel and pay thousands of dollars, that's the number they give you. We give it to you for free now. CRR is the rolling resistance. That number is reported in this form. So, you know, we're giving customers data that they want in the form they want it. And something that is fun, and I've never seen it before, is we can tell you what percentage of the time you're spending on the brakes. Now, remember, when you bicycle, to pick up speed, you have to apply energy. Every time you clamp on the brakes, you are giving up energy that you worked hard to put in there. So for a guy who really wants to maximize performance, you want that number to be as low as possible. We'll tell you what it is, and you can compare against your competition and say, you know what, that guy's got more nerve than I have, and that's why I'm losing the race.
Now, you mentioned going to a wind tunnel, spending thousands of dollars. Speaking of thousands of dollars, you have competitors out there that their power meters are thousands of dollars. One of the questions I've been asked most frequently this summer as I've been working on these reviews is, how is the accuracy of a lower-priced unit like the iBike versus some of these that are several thousand dollars?
Well, I'll let customers speak for us. Yesterday we had a dealer drop by, and he said that he had a customer who was a data fanatic. I think that's the term he used. And he went and rode in the Smoky Mountains for 4 days, and he had an iBike and another power meter, which I won't say what it is, but I'm guessing he paid $3,500 for it. So he rode for 4 days, and he said, you'll never guess what the results were. And I thought, oh, man, here we come. The guy set up improperly. He said, no. The two units were within 5 watts of each other. So now, if this were a television commercial, I would put the little asterisk on the corner saying, results not typical, your results may vary, but this is a guy who set up the unit properly, and we've always known that when you do that, you get fantastic results.
The other question I get asked all the time is, listen, I'm a recreational cyclist. Why do I need to care about power? Why do I need to care about heart rate? What's the big deal? What's your answer to them?
We spent a lot of time educating dealers about that this winter and spring, and the answer really is pretty simple. When you think about the customer, the cyclist, people who are enthusiast cyclists love getting out. People listen to your show. They enjoy cycling. They enjoy the outdoor experience. But they almost all share something in common, which is that they have a goal. They want to go on a big bike trip this summer. They want to lose weight. They want to go faster. They want to get to the next level in the pack. How do you do that? How you do it is you become more physically fit on the bike. And physical fitness on a bike is three simple things. It's strength, it's endurance, and it's energy consumption. In fact, we tell people that they should see, S-E-E, strength, endurance, energy, their performance. And what is strength? Well, strength is the maximum amount of power you put on a bicycle. Endurance is the average amount of power that you put out. The better your endurance, the higher that average power will be. And energy consumption is calories, which, guess what, is power integrated over time. So three simple numbers, maximum power, average power, energy consumption, calories. We give it all. Those are three simple numbers, and I promise you, if those three numbers are going up, you're going to get to your cycling goal. And there's no easy way to tell unless you know how to see your performance.
What is the suggested retail of the new complete wireless system?
The wireless system can come in one of two ways. For any existing iBike owner, they can go fully wireless, which includes the heart rate strap, cadence mount, and the speed sensor for $269. And guess what? If you are an existing iBike owner, we're giving discounts because we really appreciate the support that they've given us over the years. If you go in and say, I'm not an iBike owner, but I love it, $698 will buy you everything. So you can spend that with us or thousands for somebody else.
Where can they find more information?
Go to our website, www.ibikesports, and that's plural, .com, or give us a call at 214-219-5319. And we are open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning until 10 o'clock to answer questions and to do tech support calls.
John, thanks so much for spending time with me today.
My pleasure.
So a lot of exciting news from iBike this year, and that's great news for everybody who's looking for a power meter. Well, speaking of performance, I met a gentleman just down the aisle from iBike, and he told me about his latest performance-enhancing product. That's very common as we walk around the bike show to see CO2 inflators, little gadgets that we use to fill up our tires. But I see one that it has no C in front of it, just O2, and I'm with Joe Lombardo. Joe, tell me, why are you selling oxygen?
Oxygen is a product that's used by all extreme sports. We have researched a lot of applications for it with anybody from snowmobilers, cross-country skiers, to even some people that go from low altitude to high altitude that aren't used to it. The basic thing with oxygen is that it helps get the lactic acid buildup that you have in your muscles or in your lungs. And we just feel that the response that we got from cyclists that tried our product were so enthused that they came back and wanted more and more for their friends. And again, what it's for is just being able to go longer, go harder. Get that lactic acid out of your system, and it just enhances your performance.
And the product itself looks like the size of a CO2 inflator that we'd use for our tires, and has a couple of extra bottles that come with it that obviously are filled with pure oxygen. How many oxygen shots can somebody get out of one of these little bottles?
Each cylinder is a 16-gram cylinder, and it's not pure oxygen because pure oxygen, you have to have a prescription for pure oxygen. And pure oxygen would be a green bottle. This is blue. It's 90% oxygen, 10% nitrogen, and you're going to get 14 one-second blasts. Now, there's no sense to use more than a one-second blast because you exhale. So why take a big, big mouthful? That's why this lasts nice. And the small silhouette and the little carrying case that you can have or slip it in your pocket makes it very convenient. It's the smallest oxygen dispenser in the world.
So I'm out on a ride. On a road ride, and I'm feeling tired. Is that the time when I'm going to want to take a shot?
Yep, it's when you've excelled, you've climbed a high peak or something, and then you turn around and you're starting to build up that lactic acid in the muscles. Now's the time to take a second shot, maybe a little while later, another shot. And all it's going to do is just help your body recover that much faster.
How much is it going to cost for somebody to go out and buy a package like we're seeing here with the inflator and a couple of cylinders?
If a person goes out and goes to a retail store or online, they're going to pay $29.99 for the applicator and two 16-gram cartridges. Afterwards, they won't need to buy the applicator anymore. They'll just be able to buy the 6-gram or six-pack, and that'll be $29.95 is the retail price.
Where can people find more information?
You can go on to oxy2go.com, O-X-Y, the number 2, G-O.com.
Joe, thanks for your time. Good luck here at the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, I know that a lot of roadies don't use hydration packs. We tend to use water bottles and hydration packs. Well, we leave those for the backpackers and the hikers and, of course, the mountain bikers. But I do use a hydration pack, especially when I go mountain biking. I don't use one on my road bike very often, but I came across a booth with some very innovative hydration pack products, and I wanted to bring you an interview with them. So here's my interview with the folks from Polar Pack. So I'm with Paul Fleming. You're in the Polar Pack Hydration Systems booth. And at the outdoor demo, I watched you demonstrate some really innovative products. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing to innovate the hydration pack business.
You bet, Fred. Thanks for asking. Hey, we are a reservoir replacement company, okay? And what we're trying to do, and our mission and statement, is to educate the consumer on the fact that there's a lot of good hydration, hands-free backpack manufacturers out there, and the reservoirs haven't been the same quality, and they haven't evolved like the packs have. So we're the reservoir replacement company. We got some innovative stuff out there to revolutionize the reservoir business, okay? We just signed on with Oakley. We're really stoked. That company really understands the importance of a hydration backpack. The fact that they understand that the best thing about, the most important thing about a hydration backpack is the reservoir is awesome. So you'll see our new MoFlow, the pressurized system, stocked in every single tool pouch 2.0 for 2008 spring release.
So, of course, you said something that is automatically people's ears are going to prick up. You said a pressurized system. What does that mean?
It's a pressurized system. You ever been on a mountain bike ride and you're climbing up a hill, okay? You're trying to synchronize your breathing just to draw water from a regular reservoir. We solved that problem, okay? With hands-free hydration, all you do is bite on the valve with our MoFlo. Water's forced through the tube into your mouth. Easy drinking. You can spray off your face. You can spray off the back of your neck. Heck, you can get your dog or your wife with it. Okay. Our MoFlo pressurized technology requires a ball valve prior to taking on. You put it in your pack. First, you fill up the reservoir. Then you put it in your pack. Then you replace the bite valve with the ball valve. You pump it up, much like when you go into the doctor to get your blood pressure taken, kind of a ball valve like that. Okay.
So now, how do you replace the bite valve with the ball valve?
It's a quick release system. Okay. The bite valve is a 360-degree rotating bite valve. It's kind of like a hydraulic system where you push in a male into a female component, push it in and release. You replace that. Then you take the ball valve, remove it from the end of the tube, replace it with the bite valve, and then you can go with the flow.
So now there's no energy expended in getting the hydration into your body.
Exactly. You use less energy, more power to the pedal, and you drink more water. If you have a pressurized system and it's easy to drink, you can stay more hydrated and the longevity of your ride.
So if you've got a pressurized system, that also gives you the ability to do other things other than just hydrate yourself, right?
Correct, Fred. I'm glad you asked that as well. We have found so many more benefits with our pressurized system that it's led us into a shower head attachment. Also, an inline filter to prevent Giardia or Cryptosporidia when you're out in the backcountry. We make it as far as a kit. So the MoFlo is a pressurized system. You have a shower head attachment. After that big long ride in southern Utah at Gooseberry Mesa, you still got to drive home. More comfortable ride if you get a chance to shower off a little bit, get the dirt off the legs.
Tell me about the filter a little bit. Where do you see people using that?
The application for our filtration system is a backcountry application, okay? You can use that in line when you're out in the boondocks camping, okay? It prevents Cryptosporidia and Giardia. It's a 0.3 micron filtration, ceramic and carbon, okay? The MoFlo forces the water through that filter right into your mouth. You don't have to pump up like a Katadyn system or any other type of filtration system out there. You can buy those at a retail store for $49. And that comes with the MoFlo, the 70-ounce reservoir, the shower head attachment, and the filtration system that's in line.
That's great. Now, the other thing that I saw that you make, you've made it so I don't have to put ice cubes into my hydration pack, haven't you?
Right. No more diluting of that sports drink, okay? We have 15 gel squares that are welded on the back of our polar pack reservoir. It keeps your water cool on a hot day for up to 4 hours. Ice usually lasts about 20 minutes. And again, like I said, it dilutes your sports drink. Our polar pack is a great way to use as a cold compress on the side of the trail as well. Let's say you get a big hematoma on the knee from the handlebar fall. It is a nice thing to have with you. Multiple benefits and uses as well with our polar pack.
That's great. Where can people find more information?
You can go online right now to REI Online. We're selling our stuff online right now. We're also selling the MoFlo systems at Sportsman's Warehouse throughout the United States right now. Visit our website, www.polarpack, and that's P-A-K, not P-A-C-K.com.
Excellent. Thanks for your time, and good luck here at the show.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate your interest in our company.
I was really impressed with those products. I saw them at the outdoor demo, and I just had to get that interview, so I'm glad that I did. Now, speaking of somebody that I just had to interview, I came across a multicolored trailer, and the products that were there are something that I use all the time, and there were some new products as well. So I got an interview with the folks from Jelly Belly. Well, a lot of us are familiar with using energy bars and drinks and things like that when we're out there on the ride. But you walk through the aisles of the show and you come upon this multicolored trailer, and it's the Jelly Belly people with jelly beans. What are you doing here?
People go, they ask the same question. What are you guys doing here? Well, 3 years ago, we came out with a product called Sport Beans. And what we did, the owner of our company, who's same family owners, had Jelly Belly Candy Company for over 110 years, same family in this fifth generation. And he said, you know what? Why don't we do something for the sports nutrition market? Because everything I've eaten doesn't taste as good as it should taste. And we certainly know how to make things taste good. So we did. We devised our own sport nutrition item. We took it to University of California, Davis. We dealt with their sports nutrition department. We put it under severe testing for over 6 months. We figured out exactly what you needed to put in this product. And what we had put in the first place turned out to be exactly what was right. So it's been a huge success. Oh, God, they're throwing T-shirts. It's been a huge success. And we are tickled with the sponge. You can find our product in a lot of NFL clubs and a lot of Major League Baseball clubs. You can find it. We have our writers for the Jelly Belly cycle team, and they are extremely up on this product. What we found through the testing is that if you're going to be in a 10K race, according to all the juices you could drink, the bars you could eat, the shots you could shoot, you're better off with the beans you could eat, because you're gonna finish that race 27 seconds farther than someone else in a 10K race. And we've documented that with full public lab testing. And a lot of these people don't do public lab testing.
So jelly beans have come a long way since Ronald Reagan. What is it that is in the sport beans? What are they providing to the athlete?
We tried to put in the beans exactly what you're going to spend in energy in that half hour to hour hours spent. So we're going to replace the vitamins you just used with A and C. We're going to replace also the electrolytes to keep the moisture in your system. We're going to try to replace and replenish in your system exactly what comes out and give you enough energy to finish it on time and ahead of the others.
One of the greatest things I've seen regarding your product at the Tour of California this year, Team CSC rider Jens Voigt had a great day. And he was being interviewed at the press conference, and guess what he was chewing on?
He was chewing sport beans from Jelly Belly. So because of the success of sport beans, so many riders in so many different sports, we have a triathlete team, we have lots of different athletes around the world that do different things, but they've all asked, can we do one with caffeine? So we said, now we're coming out with extreme sport beans. And extreme sport beans have 15 milligrams of caffeine in a packet, which is about a half a cup of coffee, and that's exactly what is under the limits for NC2A, for all the schools and everything, and that's exactly what they asked for, exactly what we're going to give them. We'll still have our same four most popular items, but now we're coming out with two more in the flavors of cherry and watermelon. That'll be a huge success. The reaction here has been phenomenal.
So the extreme sport beans have all the same nutrients, all the same electrolytes as the regular, but it adds the caffeine.
Exactly. That's exactly what we did. We just added the 50 milligrams of caffeine per 100 carb serving.
Great idea. I think a lot of cyclists are going to like that. Where can people find information online?
Oh, right now you just go to sportbean.com or jellybelly.com and hit the Sport Bean tab.
Great.
Take you there right away.
Great. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, I appreciate your interest. Thanks a lot.
All that noise that was going on in the background was some Jelly Belly professional riders up on top of their trailer, and they were giving away T-shirts. So sorry about all that noise in the background, but you can tell that's just the environment at Interbike every year. Well, speaking of the environment, literally two steps away from the Jelly Belly booth was another performance-enhancing booth, and something that I hadn't seen before. And when I started learning about it, I had to bring you this interview because I thought that this was really interesting. Here's my interview with Altolab.
So earlier today, I met some people who make a portable oxygen shot system to try to help people increase their performance. But now I'm at the Altolab booth. I'm talking to Andrew, and we're looking at a product that gives you simulated altitude training. Tell me a little bit about your product.
This is a portable device. It's about the size of a thermos, a coffee thermos, with a tube connected to it. And you breathe through it. It's a rebreather, so you inhale and exhale through the device. And you can adjust your altitude by adjusting the components that are added to it. It's a simple device. It's made of plastic. It's very lightweight. You can take it anywhere. And what it does is you can simulate altitudes up to 30,000 feet, which sounds incredible, but it's true. We have the data to do this. And what happens is while you're breathing in it, you're self-monitoring your own blood oxygen levels, so that it would mimic the kind of response that you would get if you were actually flying on a plane or mountain climbing or when you exert yourself at high altitude. Except when you use this, you have to sit down and relax and watch TV and monitor the device, monitor your thing. Now, the beauty of this is you only have to do this for 6 minutes. And within 6 minutes, you'll reach the level of like 25 or 20,000 feet. And then you take it off and you go to fresh air, sea level air, and your blood oxygen levels come right back up very quickly. So you do this, it's like an interval training while you're sitting down, which is quite remarkable. But we have, you know, quite a few athletes who use this, professional athletes, who don't like to admit that they use it because they don't want to give away some of their training secrets. But anyhow, so there you go. 6 minutes on for high altitude, 4 minutes off. And you repeat that six times, so you do it for an hour a day. And once you're in the, once you've been acclimated to it, you do it 5 days on and 15 days off. And it's during those 15 days off periods that you would actually compete in events and so on. But we have, this was developed in New Zealand for their Olympic teams. And New Zealand has a remarkable record of triathlete champions in the Olympics and so on. Like last Olympics, they won the gold and silver. We also have members of the Australian swim team that use it. Several rugby teams, and then some major cycling teams in North America and in Europe.
So when I saw your booth from across the hall and I saw simulated altitude training, I expected to walk up and find a chamber that I have to sleep in or something like that. And really, this is maybe the size of a large sports bottle, something maybe a professional football team might use in order to hydrate their athletes. But how do you adjust it so that you get these different altitude levels?
Well, what it has is a series of, we call them Alto mixers, but what they are is essentially like a small plastic pot with foam sponges in it. And what it does is you, as you exhale, your air is depleted of oxygen. So what you're going to do is actually breathe that back in, but mix it with fresh air. So it's a series of these chambers or extensions that you put on the base of this unit, and that you can adjust your altitude. Each of these chambers is equal to about 5,000 feet of altitude. So depending on where you are, how much you can tolerate, you can do as many or as little as you need to get to a target blood oxygen level that you measure with a pulse oximeter, which is similar to what the physicians use when you check into an emergency room and so on. They see what your blood oxygen level is. And we use this device to monitor while you're using it to see what level of blood oxygen you are.
So I want to come back to that, but first, you mentioned that it's a rebreather and that you breathe out and then you breathe that same air back in. But you also explained that this has a CO2 scrubber on it?
Yes, you can't just breathe the air you've exhaled right back in. The air you've exhaled is loaded with CO2. So in order for this device to work, you have to scrub out the CO2. And what we have are chambers that are called hypoxic silos. That go. One of those silos goes on the unit, and as you exhale, this scrubber removes all the CO2, but it doesn't have any effect on the oxygen, except that your body has already used up half the oxygen. It expels that, and then you're going to breathe back that lower, reduced oxygen back in, but no CO2.
And the scrubber, does it have a lifetime or will it expire after some time?
Yes, the scrubbers, the way this is designed, the scrubbers are small and compact enough to carry around with you. And these, they have to be changed out after about 3 hours of use.
So let's go back to the pulse oximeter. And we're all familiar with what that looks like. They put it on your index finger and it reads out your pulse ox. Does this come with the system?
Yes, it does come with the system. We have, for the individual unit, you need one. We really, it has to be there because it's something you don't want to go into blind. You have to know what's happening to your body with regard to blood oxygen levels. One of the things about the tent chamber systems that are available, those you go into and you don't know what's happening to your body. For instance, they have this phenomenon called non-responders, which are people that go into the nothing happens to them. Well, what we find when we're using the Altolab is we see non-responders, and what happens is there are people that are efficient enough to extract the oxygen out of very thin air. So what you do with our device is you just add more of the chambers down there to essentially take you to higher and higher altitudes. The chambers that are available only go to an equivalent of about 12 to 14,000 feet. With ours, we can keep adding these small small units on the base and get up to 25, 30,000 feet. The beauty of ours is that you do it for just a very short period, and that's enough to get that workout that you need. It's called, interval. Well, it's like an interval training, but extremely high elevations, but just for a few minutes.
So what's included in the package, and what sort of training materials or instructions are given to the purchaser of the package?
You get a carry bag with it. It comes with six silos, so it's good for about 18 hours of use. That's at least 15 days. To get you, what we find with the research we found is that you initially use this for 15 days on and 15 days off, and then you go 5 days on and 15 days off. But the unit comes packed in a carry bag. It's sort of like the small thing for like a picnic type of a bag. Then you get enough of the mixers to go to 30,000 feet. Then you get another small bag with the breathing tubes and attachments. We have bacterial filters that go on it. The idea is for hygienic use, it's like using a toothbrush. You don't want to share that. So we have those units, and then you get a pulse oximeter and a carry little pouch with that. And then instructions. There's a manual, a CD, and then you can... And then there's a lot of guides and other sort of things that we give suggestions as we've learned from our other customers on how to make the silos last longer, extend their times, and so on. So we provide that online and phone help as well.
What's the price of the unit, and where can people find out more information?
The price is $579 for the basic kit, and they can go to www.altolab-usa.com. Another site is www.pharmapacific.com. That's pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A, pacific.com.
Great. Andrew, thanks so much for your time and for explaining the Altolab.
Thank you very much. It is a thing that once people get the hang of it, they really find it is tremendously useful, but it's a for me, it's a big learning curve to try and explain it to them. So thanks for coming by.
Last but not least, I came across a booth, and the gentleman that was sitting there, well, I'm going to let him describe for you what he looked like, but I was so impressed by him and by the family members of his that were there in the booth, I had to bring you his story. It's a short interview, but I think it's one that you will find very interesting, no matter what your political beliefs. I think that you will be inspired by this story. I'm with Ryan Cools. Ryan was in the United States Army, and you were in Iraq, and you were wounded. Tell me what happened.
I was hit by an IED on November 29th of 2005. It severed my left leg and right arm above the knee and above the elbow.
And where was this in Iraq?
I was in Tajia, Iraq, which is about 35 miles north of Baghdad.
So what are you doing here at the show? I see you're with the Wounded Warrior Project. Tell me about that.
The Wounded Warrior Project provides activities and services for severely injured service members from Iraq and Afghanistan. One of the programs that they provide is Soldier Ride, and that is six rides every year in various parts of the country, anywhere from 4 days to a week long. And we get service members coming from the hospital, get them out on bikes, and have them hit the road, wheels up.
And so whether they've lost a limb or they've been otherwise injured, it's a way to get them out there and get them back and being active again.
That's correct. Get them out there, get being active again, make as many people as we can aware of the program and aware that there are people that are coming back a little different than they were before. And they still can do the stuff that they did before and sometimes stuff they had never done before.
Ryan, were you a cyclist before you went to Iraq?
I was a recreational cyclist. I would ride mountain bikes. I'm originally from Arizona, so plenty of places to ride out there.
And so how can the general public support the efforts of the Wounded Warrior Project?
Wounded Warrior Project is always looking for volunteers, if people are willing to support that way. We're a nonprofit organization, so we're funded completely by private donations and sponsorships. With Soldier Ride, always accepting bike parts and gear and stuff like that, because it's kind of heavy on that stuff to run a week-long ride for 12 to 15 people. And then, of course, always financial donations, which can be done via our website.
Okay, where's your website?
Website is woundedwarriorproject.org.
Now, in talking about the bike products that you need, for some of your riders, they're going to need some specially made bikes. Tell me a little bit about some of the bikes that some of your participants are using.
Some of our participants will use a hand cycles if they've lost both legs or don't have use of either of the legs. Some will use recumbent trikes, like I use a cat trike. And then some others will use modified stand-up bikes, so crank shorteners or whatever they need to get out there and ride.
It's a great project. Ryan, thanks for talking to me, and thanks so much for your service.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, as I said, no matter what your political beliefs, no matter how you feel about actions that are going on overseas, I think anybody can get behind the fact that a soldier went off to war. He came back a little bit different than he was when he went, but he's still able to inspire others to get on their bikes and ride, and he's still able to do it even though he's lost limbs. And so I salute Ryan and those like him, and of course thank them for their service, and thank them for the inspiration. Well, that's going to do it for our coverage of Interbike 2007. I hope that you've enjoyed the coverage. I hope I brought you a new perspective on some of the products that are out there in the bike industry. It is a very wide and varied industry, and hopefully you've learned a little bit from the coverage. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, please send them. All the contact information is on the website, www.thefredcast.com. Send me an email, thefredcast@gmail.com. That's going to do it for the show for today. We're going to sign off again with music from Jimmy Bratcher, music.podshow.com. Links are in the show notes to where you can get Jimmy's music on iTunes and in all sorts of other places. We'll be back next week with a regular edition of the Fredcast as soon as I get back from Southern California from doing the MS Beta Bay Bike Tour. Please visit the website and please donate what you can to help me start to finish MS. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. We'll see you next week. Until then, enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.